Blog Talk Radio.
You know what's all about the power!
You have arrived to the Future of Pro Wrestling podcast. Is the FTW Future Focus. I am your host, the Mastermind Bob Rogers. Along with me, my co-host, Tony Motown Allen, president of MWG football page. I mean, not football, Facebook page. God, I can't even talk today. What's going on, man?
Not too much, man. How you feeling? I say do have the football page, cause I do have that too, but that turns into this all sports too, though. So I got both pages right now.
Yeah, I'm on that one too. Enjoying both of them. So if you guys got a chance, come on, check out both of those pages. Get on, have a good time. We talk about wrestling, football, all types of sports. Especially now, I know this ain't wrestling related, but I want to get you a little idea on something real quick. What the heck is up with Antonio Brown, man?
Man, he's a whole different level of crazy. You complain that you're not getting enough targets, and then you complain that the coach is trying to put you in the game while you're hurt. In the same game, you're saying that you're not getting enough targets. You said your ankle hurt, but you're doing jumping jacks out the stadium.
Hold on. See, and this is where my skepticism comes in. You know that coach ain't going to say he did nothing wrong. So he's going to find any excuse. And what's the biggest excuse out of a wide receiver? They're going to talk about he ain't getting enough targets because he does want the ball a lot. So that would be the biggest excuse. But he likes money too.
But see, here's my thing. He wants the ball more because he's trying to get his bonus. But if your butt didn't have a fake vaccination card and got suspended, you probably would have more opportunities to get your bonus.
That too. But I don't see him with that type of money trying to blow that money. I think it was a mixture of the two. I think he might have been upset he wasn't getting targeted as much in the beginning, but I think he was hurt. I mean,
I think it's a mixture of the two, though, but I think it's more the targets than that hurt ankle, because that same hurt ankle he had the week before that, he caught 8 or 10 passes for over 100 yards.
Yeah, sometimes you got the adrenaline going, and you can go, and you ignore the pain, but right now, it's just, probably might have been hurting him too bad. I don't know. That's why I see everybody chiming in talking about this dude crazy, and it's like, he might
too,
not
though.
Be that crazy.
But he got a bad track record on top of that, though.
Yeah, I know he's done a lot of stuff, and I think they might – I'm not sure if they took advantage of that or not. Because think about it. He went on his own, all right, and got x-rayed and stuff, and then found he does have a bone out, and he does have something wrong with his ankle. So it's like – it's hard. You don't want to dismiss somebody.
Hard.
You know what I'm saying? But I get what you're saying about what he did in the past, too. So it's like, I don't know. But that dude is nuts. And I think, did the Bears win today at all?
Man, they were winning a majority of the game. All of a sudden, they just decided, screw it. Let's just end the season the way we started. Now,
they lost to the Vikings.
Game. Yeah. The only question of Chicago right now is are they going to fire Nagy tonight or are they going to wait till tomorrow? That's the only question right now.
I think he might have been trying to – guess what that was. He probably was winning thinking he had a chance to save his job. Word came down that, no, you ain't got no job. They done made their decision, and you're going to be gone. And he was like, screw it, in the middle of the game.
Honestly, it was two different halves for them. Like, they were doing good the first half. That second half, it was like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I just,
he probably
just
took his headset off, did some jumping jacks, and left the stadium.
He probably did. But think about Jim Harbaugh coming back. You know, that's going around.
That is a rumor going around that he does have ties with Chicago. I'm not
no,
sure
it's a
I'll
rumor that he's
him.
Talking about coming back to Chicago.
Yeah.
They're literally talking about him coming back, and that's going to be something. That's going to be something.
I mean, if you think about it, when he left the NFL, it wasn't like he left with a bad record, though.
No, he didn't. I was surprised the Bears even got rid of him.
So we'll see
and
what happens,
to the
though.
Colts. And clown, so, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sports is just getting weird today. And speaking of things getting weird, today is the day. Yes, it is. It is the 2021 Future Focus Awards. Rob and Ty, I do not know where they're at, so me and Tony is probably just going to go at this alone.
Okay.
You're going to hear some pieces here, and on the independent scene, I'm going to go ahead and probably give him my mouth a lot more because I deal with the independent scene except myself. But the way this works is, and what I did was, I had, besides the cast here at FTW Future Focus on the podcast, I talked to my other friends. I got a lot of friends that watch wrestling. We all watch, have a good time, blah, blah, blah. Might say a couple of lines about it. But we don't talk in depth. And I hope they're listening in. I hope y'all having a good time. But their voices, they feel that their voices isn't heard. So I developed a system to where, okay, we'll get the roundabouts from you guys. You know, I'll get the winners. And then the winners of each one, which is with each of the majors, which is WWE, in AEW, the winners of each category in the end will go head-to-head. We will discuss that. But first, what I'm going to do is go through each categories and talk about the winners of each category in the AEW and WWE context. Now, I'm going to let you know who the nominees are. You tell me who won, and I will let you know who actually did win that section and who we'll be discussing that's going head-to-head in the AEW versus WWE. Okay, so we're going to start off with the tag team of the year award here. This is talking about the tag teams of the WWE. All this is we're starting off with is WWE.
Okay.
The tag teams that was nominated was number one, The New Day, number two, The Imperium, and number three, the Usos. Those are the three that came up the most. Tony, I'm going to let you go ahead and you discuss what do you think of these teams, how do you like them, where do you think, who do you think that won out of these three?
I like all three teams. I think as far as what they did in 2021, I immediately eliminate New Day from the competition. I think Imperium had a really good year. But I think, but for me, it's hands down, it's the Usos. So Jim and Jay got back together, and they dominated the tag team scene.
True. I will give you that. I look at all three of these teams, and Imperium was just somebody that was dynamic to me. They were like candy for my eyes. I love watching them. There were people that, you can't say enough about these guys. Let me just put it like that. The New Day I've always loved. I know a lot of people clown on them because McMahon gave them that funny gimmick, but they took that gimmick and ran with it. And
they
I
made,
think
they
further.
Made, they made a bad gimmick work.
Yes, yes. And I think what he did is now he found the formula not to boost the New Day anymore because, I mean, Xavier Woods is an underrated wrestler,
yeah.
But he's an underrated singles wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Kofi can do either one tag team or singles. And
yeah.
Big E could do tag teams or singles. So they let Big E go on, and now it's making Kofi look bad, which I disagree with because I think Kofi's real good. Xavier Wood is a good dude. I like him, but he's not a tag team wrestler. You know, he is nowhere near a tag team wrestler. He is definitely a singles wrestler, though. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But you said the Usos. My pick in here was Imperium, and I picked Imperium because when I watched them, if I can't take my eyes off of you, that means you're doing something good.
That is true.
If you captivate my attention.
They really had a bad match.
Yeah, they really had a bad match. These guys are awesome. I think they're going to be the tag team they lean on in the future a lot. Because now, with all the firings that are going on, they don't have that many good tag teams.
They don't.
So, yeah, I honestly think, in my opinion, my personal thing was Imperium. But the winner of the 2021 Tag Team of the Year Awards for WWE section is the Usos. I mean,
they had a phenomenal year. They had a good run. They're still having a good run.
But see, this is my problem, okay? And this is why it wiggles in my head. They got popular and they got popular on their own in the past because they're just that good of a tag team. But right now, it's like the Bloodline storyline to me has tampered it in a good way and in a bad way because it makes it look like that they're not doing it on their own. You see what I'm saying? When they are. Paul Heyman takes a lot of that. What can I say?
Paul Heyman's MVP.
We'll get to that in a second. Awesome. We'll get to that in a second.
But Paul Heyman for them can kind of outshine them, so to speak. I mean, Paul Heyman's just that type of character.
Right. But it kind of cheapens what they do when they haven't done anything wrong. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
they going out there flat out.
That's why
matches.
I had a hard time with Imperium.
Okay, I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, but I got to go with what was voted on. That was the Usos. Usos 2021 Tag Team of the Year for the WWE. All right. Let's go with Manager of the Year. That was the next category. This is short and sweet and simple. And I know it's going to be funny because one of these don't work in companies.
For WWE, this is definitely short and sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, it had to happen like that. It was two people that came up. It was Scarlett, the manager of Karrion Kross, and also Paul Heyman. Scarlett, I love.
I absolutely love her as well. Phenomenal.
Scarlett should have never – I'm going to say this straight up. Scarlett should have never been cut. Karrion Kross should have never been cut.
Karrion Kross should have never been called up without her.
Yeah. Scarlett is a phenomenal talent. I mean – she does her job. She does it well. She is awesome. And Karrion Kross, same thing. Love him to death. But, I mean, we talking about Paul Heyman here. what can we say? You know what I'm
saying? He's a modern day. He's our generation Bobby the Brain Heenan.
You know what? everybody says that.
Everybody says that because Bobby Bahena is the best ever. But Paul Heyman's going to get on run for that.
See, I can't. You're going to be shocked when I say this. I can't say Bobby DeBrayhing was the best manager ever. I can't do that.
Pick for best one? I mean, I have a
best
lot
manager
of
ever?
Love, though, but yeah.
Best manager ever?
Mm-hmm.
Jim Cornette. All day long.
Oh, man. I can't even be mad at you.
Jim
on
Cornette.
That, I really can't. I can't even be mad at you on that. I love James E. Cornette.
I mean, Jim Cornette, not, I mean, Bobby Heenan, you see him take a couple of bumps and that's it. He irritated you, but it was like, okay, Jim Cornette could piss you off. Jim Cornette could get your motor going to where you're ready to kill that dude, you know?
He has the ability to do that.
And, I mean, Beautiful Bobby, I mean, Stan, I mean, those dudes were phenomenal athletes. Beautiful Bobby, God rest his soul. You know, I know he passed, God rest his soul. But Beautiful Bobby was one of the most underappreciated and underrated wrestlers back in his time.
Yeah.
You know, he was very unappreciated singles. You know, I honestly think that man should have done a whole heck of a lot at singles and singles wrestling. But they had a formula at the time, and that's what they went by. Can't get mad at that. Well, you could get
but
mad at that,
with,
but who would listen?
But you could team him with anybody, and it's going to work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can team him with anybody.
And we talk about taking bumps for managers. I will say no manager has ever taken a bump like James E. Cornette in a scalpel match.
Oh yes. You know he hurt his ankle off there, right?
Yes. And he was scared of heights.
I mean, yeah. And still did it.
Yeah. I give that man a lot of credit.
I mean, but Jim Cornette, I'm sorry.
It's bad enough you're scared of heights, but you up there with the Road Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had the fortunate pleasure of meeting Animal here. And even at his age then, the dude was about two and a half times my size.
Yes. Hawk was
I'm
a
just
big
like,
dude, and Animal made him look small.
Yeah, Animal wasn't no joke. Animal was polite. I got to get into him. He was real polite. But that dude, that you don't mess with him. You don't mess with that dude. I'm going to leave it there. We'll talk one time off the air. I'll let you know some stuff. But
we could definitely get off the rail with some Road Warrior talk.
Oh yeah, that dude is nuts. Much respect to the Animal, yeah. But when it comes down to it, though, you know, you can't beat Paul Heyman nowadays. There's nobody out there doing it like Paul Heyman. Nobody.
One thing I love absolutely love about Paul Heyman is the way he can reinvent his character and keep it relevant. The man been doing this for decades, and keeping it fresh and keeping it new.
Yeah, and my thing is this. Think about this. Out of everybody that's running a wrestling company, who could really be involved with their wrestling company and continuously be involved with their wrestling company and have their character work?
Yeah.
There's only two people on earth that could do that.
Only
if Jim
two.
Cornette wanted to run his own promotion, he could do that. And then you got Paul Heyman. Anybody else?
ECW.
McMahon's character is just one and done. The evil boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a typical evil boss, though. Like.
Right. Dixie Carter, I mean, she couldn't play the rich girl role, and she's actually a rich girl. So that ends that one. So, I mean, yeah, you can't beat Paul Heyman right now, except with a legend, like we're talking about with Jim Cornette. But again, yeah, this is active, and he's active. So Paul Heyman,
hands down, Paul Heyman. Oh yeah.
Yep, Paul Heyman, Manager of the Year, 2021 for WWE. Okay, next category. We're dealing with the women of the WWE.
Okay.
I was kind of disappointed because, and this one was tough because everybody kept mentioning the same ones, and it was just, yeah. Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks,
okay,
Charlotte Flair, and surprisingly, Doudrop.
Really?
Doudrop made it. I am happy about that. But let's just break it down.
Go ahead, Tony.
Tell me who you think out of this.
My pick was Bianca Belair. And this is coming from a huge Charlotte Flair fan, but I just think Bianca had a phenomenal year. Her matches are good. The stuff that I think she doesn't get enough credit for what she does in the ring. The
no,
girl is very athleticism and a powerhouse.
Yeah.
But my
she reminds you of
a
younger. I can't say younger, but a relative, her and Jade Cargill to me could go for sisters.
Oh yes, without a doubt.
Both athletic, both are powerful as hell. You know, I think Bianca Belair is a little far along in her technical ability in the ring. More than Jade Cargill.
But she also got a couple of years on Jade Cargill, too, though, so.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So, you know, I mean, I pretty much see that level balancing out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That level of balance out in the future. I also voted for Bianca Belair. This was a very, very, very tight one. Actually, one vote separated everybody. Because I didn't think that many people appreciated Doudrop the way I do. But there are some fans that do. Doudrop came in the game late in 2021, and she really got attention because of her ability and her technical ability. She is good.
Doudrop came in almost in a New Day situation, too, though. Like, they gave her the name Doudrop and put her Eva Marie. Like, it was almost like they weren't trying to do anything with her.
Yeah. And it's only because of one thing. It's because of her size.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go on a record, and I'm going to say this right now. If you are one of those guys that will sit up and cheer for a girl in a wrestling ring just because she's pretty, you should not be a wrestling fan.
That's true.
I mean, I'm just going to say that right now. Just because a girl looks good does not mean she's a good wrestler.
Unfortunately.
And I don't think Doudrop. Hey, let me correct something here. I'm not saying Doudrop is ugly.
No.
But everybody looks at her size and say, well, nah, da, 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 da. Shut the hell up.
But that's why
I mean, even one of my friends I had to get off because he.
But that's how WWE featured their women, though.
WWE needs to stop it.
Let me do. Now, WWE is a whole different, like, way they put that. Yeah. That might be a whole different subject that we need to dump into some other time.
Yeah, that was. It was the most irritating. It's the most irritating thing to see, and I'm just thoroughly disappointed in that. But in that one, in that category, Bianca Belair won by one vote.
Okay, when you were talking, I was like, man, Bianca lost?
One vote, Bianca Belair pulled it off. That was one of the closest ones there were.
Two things I'm happy about here. Few things I'm happy about here at all. I'm happy Bianca won because she deserved it. She had a phenomenal year.
Yes, definitely.
I'm happy Doudrop was in it because I'm happy that people are not looking through the WWE glasses and see her for the talent that she is. But the thing I'm most happy about is TBB. Becky Lynch was not in it, so I'm really happy about that.
Oh, yeah, Becky was under Doudrop, which shocked. That's why I said it was shocking, because I was expecting Becky to be out there, and, man, you would have had to stomach talking about her.
Okay,
But honestly, I was shocked when Doudrop came up like that, and I was like, oh, okay, right on. We could deal with this. Okay. And I was going to get my Pepto-Bismol out today if I had to talk with Becky. I'm telling you. Yeah. Okay, so the next one. The MVP of WWE. Now, I know it sounds like a rhyme, and I'm busting some lyrics trying to make me a hit record, but no, it's not that. I'm not Hit Row. What we're doing is, with this one, this is a category to where you don't necessarily have to be a wrestler to win this category. You could be in there but have a major impact in that federation. So it could be anybody. It could be a manager. It could be an announcer. It could be anybody. But let's go ahead and go through these categories. The first one was, again, Doudrop. Reason for that. Yeah. Doudrop changed the face of women's wrestling. She comes in with a technical style without having the premium WWE look. Great heel personality. Would love to see her as a face. I mean, Doudrop is the one MVP, and I got to agree with that 100%. Second, Tommaso Ciampa.
Okay.
Was essential in NXT during the transition to NXT 2.0. Great champion, great matches, great look. So you got all that with Tommaso Ciampa. Three, and that kind of shocks me on this one, but again, I put the category the way it is. Pat McAfee.
Really?
Yes. Excellent commentator, brings a new light, drowns out Borg. I'm sorry, this one was funny to me. I can't even read this without laughing. But drowns out Cole's boring voice.
Yeah, he does. Man, I almost ready to take my vote because of that, though, because I cannot stand Cole. But I can honestly say I haven't hated Cole as much this year.
Yeah, because McAfee entertains you.
Yeah.
McAfee is on there, man. He's on it. I mean, what can you say? What can you say bad about McAfee? And he's gotten in the ring. I mean, and that's what I'm shocked about. Why haven't we seen more of him in the ring? He was good.
And it was a good match. That match was way better than I expected.
Oh yeah, way better. Way better. And then we got the fourth and final contestant, which we've already talked about on here in other categories, Paul Heyman. So out of those four, who do you think won?
I don't know who won, but I'm going to let you know who I voted for.
Who?
I picked Paul Heyman. And the reason I picked Paul Heyman, I'm not going to go to details on why I picked Paul Heyman. He is the reason I watched SmackDown. You got a
mm-hmm.
roster of wrestlers and everything. Paul Heyman is the reason why I watched SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how his character is. I love the advocate. I love the special counsel. I love how he could flip the switch. He could be both in the same segment.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman.
I mean, Go ahead.
The downfalls on New Day and what they've done this year. I mean, but Paul Heyman put the. I mean, Paul Heyman made the bloodline. Paul Heyman. But Paul Heyman said, like, told Roman, you the champ because of me? He ain't lying. Paul Heyman made Roman Reigns a hell of a heel.
Mm-hmm.
He changed the game.
Yeah. And just like Michael Jordan, that's what MVPs do, change the game. And my vote, personally, I had to go with Paul Heyman. It's just no way I could have turned it around for the same exact reasons. The man is just awesome. I mean, he is WWE. He is the reason why people are making money in WWE right now. Because the Roman Lesnar feud would be boring.
Yeah.
I could not imagine them two talking for themselves. I mean, Roman would be a little entertaining, but Lesnar, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No. It wouldn't even be as exciting as it is. So, yeah. Paul Heyman did win the MVP of the WWE for 2021. Now, my question is, and I want to ask you, who do you think came in second?
On this list, it could have been Pat McAfee.
It was close. It was separated by one vote on the second place. Tommaso Ciampa actually got second place.
I can't be mad at that.
Yeah, I mean, can't be mad at that at all. He has had some great matches. I mean, he was in NXT.
I mean, yeah, he basically lost a title to the Steiner's kid, Bron Breakker. But I like how they did that feud, and I'm happy they didn't. No, you knew that was going to happen. I'm just happy it happened sooner.
Okay. I got much love for the Steiners. But come on, man. I'm sorry. It's too early. He should not have that title.
Oh, it's way too early. I was really hoping he didn't win it when he did. Because I thought it was too soon for him. But I'm surprised they didn't do it sooner. Because the WWE
gave
with
more
the cuts, and we could talk about the cuts and what they're doing with NXT, but the way they're treating the black and gold and everybody involved in that, I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner because they basically out with the old and with the new. Screw all the Triple H's guys.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. I don't like the way they did that. And I think proper respect would have been have Tommaso Ciampa just move up to the next level. And then they would have had the 2.0 guys go at each other for that title. That would have been the proper respect. I don't know if Triple H got caught cheating on Stephanie.
I don't know what happened.
Did Vince walk in on him in the room in private?
All his guys. Like, it's like anything that was Triple H is gone. Right.
Except Shawn Michaels.
Right now.
Hey, I'm sorry.
But I think the thing that helps Shawn Michaels is the fact that, like, even though that's a Triple H guy, Shawn Michaels was Vince McMahon's guy first.
Make me wonder, is somebody going behind somebody back? I mean, for real.
You know, the rest of business, man, the rest of business is dirty business, though, so you never know.
You telling me?
There's a lot. I was going to say, you know better than I do. But I think it's definitely Triple H don't have a lot of friends in the industry, and I think everybody is really doing what they can to, like, make him not being as good of light, which is amazing when you're the son-in-law.
Mm-hmm. And Nick Khan is looking at power. Shawn Michaels has always been about power. You got, I mean, I think Vince was actually embarrassed because NXT was doing better than WWE and Raw. I mean, than Raw and SmackDown.
That's exactly what it is.
And
a lot of people criticize, like, NXT changing, and they don't like the change and everything. But from a certain standpoint, I kind of get it. Because it's, like, honestly, like, AEW is brand new. Brand new. NXT's been around for a while. As much as we talk about, like, NXT is the best product that they have, they shouldn't have been losing it to AEW.
This is where I differ with that. NXT didn't have... It had some marketing, don't get me wrong. You're going to get the benefits of the Vince McMahon marketing, okay, no matter what you do. But it was never placed heavily on NXT. I honestly think I don't like this conspiracy theory thing, but I honestly think that Vince did not come up with the idea. He got mad and sabotaged it. Because who's going to pay attention to a product that when the product moves to the main roster, they just change everything about them? You see what I'm saying?
I mean, a lot of this stuff...
It's like, well, I'm going to waste my time when it's going to change.
Because a lot of stuff they did with NXT, and I even go back to the Survivor Series when you had, like, NXT beat the Raw and SmackDown. How did you not capitalize on that? How you don't roll with that?
Yeah.
That was your golden opportunity to take them to the next level. But I really thought that day went at the Survivor Series, NXT won, I'm like, they're going to make a legit push to make them a legit like brand. Like, we not the second tier brand.
They could have even did this. Let's just say on their Raw and SmackDown brands, they wanted that type of dude that they're looking for, right? They could have still held NXT and said, okay, you could be the separate brand that could deal with all of the indie talent, blah, 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 blah. And then what we have on these two are the people that we think it is, and just have the mixture and make everybody happy.
Yeah.
And they blew it again. That's what's making me think Vince McMahon had a lot to do with it.
Instead, they're making AEW happy with Triple H shaking his head, looking at, like, the people that he worked with the most wrestling over there.
Yeah. And all of them, think about it, all of them do not have a bad thing to say about Triple H.
No, none of them.
Now, this is an interesting dynamic, and I know I'm taking a break from these awards right here, but people have floated the idea around, which I just don't see happening, but it could happen, and would be very interesting story-wise. What if Triple H went to AEW?
And the crazy thing is, like, if you would have gave me that scenario 6 months ago, I'd be like, there's no way in hell. But the way things are going,
I just don't see it. I can't rule it out because anything can happen, but how would that work with CM Punk? I mean, you talk about some promos.
I honestly think it'll still work with them, though, because no matter what the heat was with them, they were magic against each other. And part of the magic
was
that
they really didn't like each other.
No, they don't like each other. That's what I mean. Like that's why I think they're magic against each other. Because the gloves come off. But here's the reason why I wouldn't rule out him going to AEW, because with Vince getting rid of all his guys, and you can't tell me that Triple H don't want to have power and control. So if Triple H is like looking at how this is going, if I can't make the impact here, why not go over here where I will make that impact? Because, yeah, him and CM Punk don't have a good relationship, but there's a lot of people in that locker room he does have a good relationship with. And the nice thing for Triple H is the people he got a good relationship with in that locker room are the younger talent that's going to be there for many, many years.
That's true. You do got a point on that. I would just think Triple H got enough money where he would just open up his own stuff. Honestly, I just think he would open his own stuff up. I mean, he would sell his, if he sold all his shares in WWE right now, he would have some nice money right now. You know what I'm saying? And if I was him, I would sell WWE right now. I would. Because it's just going to go down. The value is going to go down starting this year. The value of that company is going to go down to nothing. They didn't did what they could to make it look profitable. They didn't did what they could to do all that. So now all it is now a free fall because you don't have more people coming in watching the product. So it's a free fall now. No, sell. I would sell it in a heartbeat, collect all that cash, think about how many shares he must have.
And you know it's a ridiculous amount. You know it is.
Yeah. And he could take that money, turn it around, and open his own company. And now we got three companies, you know. And I don't think he'll do it now. I mean, think about when these contracts are going to be up when it comes to Cole and everything. They got three to five-year contracts. So I think in 5 years, you're going to see Triple H do his thing. And then we'll be talking about this war all over again, but now it's three people in it. Or you never know. He might buy ROH or Impact.
I was honestly thinking that too, though. Instead of signing a whole new company, maybe invest in like one of them two, and pull it up.
You never know, man. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. But again, Monday morning quarterbacking. Okay, so male wrestler of the year for WWE. Four competitors: Tommaso Ciampa, Bobby Lashley, Big E, and Roman Reigns, sorry. look what we got here. And yeah, oh, God. We done did 44 minutes of the podcast. We got to go. We got to get this done.
Okay.
Out of these four, who do you think this is going to win?
It's going to be Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns had the best year. And you know why he had the best year? Paul Heyman.
So he's like the Scottie Pippen of WWE.
Hey, it's a step up because before Paul Heyman, he was Horace Grant. So he's working his way up.
Yeah. Tommaso Ciampa, we already talked about him. Big E is somebody I feel bad for. He did not get a marketing push. He did not get any support, nothing like that at all. Most ridiculous thing that I've seen.
It was he had a worse run than Kofi.
Yep. Bobby Lashley, they couldn't help but put something on him, and he's going to fight Lesnar later on, which is going to be a joke because, of course, they're going to let Lesnar win that one. I think it's garbage. They could have did it a lot different. But throughout the votes, my vote, honestly, was for Bobby Lashley.
Okay.
I voted for Lashley.
I think Lashley had a terrible year, too.
You know, Lashley did real well this year. He'll never make it in the WWE system. Yeah, right. So, you know, Roman Reigns did win that one.
He was almighty champion.
Male wrestler of the year. Huh?
Bobby Lashley was the almighty champion.
Yeah. Now, we go to the final category. Match of the year.
So who won
Wrestler of the Year? Out of the WWE, the top three matches of the year.
Wait a minute. Who won Wrestler of the Year?
Oh, male Wrestler of the Year was Roman Reigns.
Okay.
So now we're going to Match of the Year. First up, Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole, NXT TakeOver. Can't say nothing wrong with that match at all. That match was bad. That match
was
good.
Yeah.
Well, not a bad, the bad way. It was a nice match.
No, it was badass.
This is the one that shocked me. But then once I thought about it, it didn't shock me. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and Morrison.
Really?
Most of that voting was because of Bad Bunny.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think this would make it into the finals, and it did.
I would have put it in a category, but, I mean, Bad Bunny shocked me. It was a good match, but match of the year, I don't know.
It made it to the nominations. And the other match for Match of the Year, Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks.
Okay.
I definitely got that one. Let's go with you. Who do you think won that one?
I don't know who won it, but I'm not gonna pick who I think won it. I'm gonna pick my pick, which is from these three: Anna Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly. Absolutely love that. Absolutely love that match.
I love that match too. I did love that match too. But they didn't win.
Okay, it was Bianca and Sasha.
Yes.
Mention now to a match, overlooked match for WWE that I thought was really phenomenal and a match of the year category. When Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns wrestled on SmackDown, and it was on SmackDown, that was an incredible match. That's probably Roman Reigns' best match because he wrestled with Daniel Bryan.
And that was mentioned. That actually was mentioned.
Okay.
This is the reason why it didn't go over. Because everybody that was around, we were talking, said it was no way in hell that match should have ended like that.
But, yeah. Give me that.
And that's why that match didn't make it, because the ending was that was not something that sat well with a lot of the voters in here. So yeah.
I mean, the match ended the way it did. Daniel Bryan's in AEW, and I'm sure his name is in the match of the year categories over there.
So what is the WWE 2001 awards? Tag division: The Usos. Manager of the year: Paul Heyman. Female Wrestler of the year: Bianca Belair. MVP: Paul Heyman. Male Wrestler of the Year is Roman Reigns, and the Match of the Year is Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. Never thought I would say that, but I'm glad I am. Okay, let's get over to AEW real quick.
Okay.
All Elite Wrestling. We're going to start off again with Tag Team of the Year. It's only two tag teams that came up really heavily. That was FTR and the Lucha Brothers. The Young Bucks didn't even make it. thought that was beautiful. I'm sorry. I just don't like the Young Bucks. But the two that made it was FTR and the
Lucha Bucks. I'm surprised they didn't make it, though, because the beginning of the year, they were dominating, though. So I'm kind of surprised about that, though, but they weren't my pick.
Let me tell you why. Because everybody except probably five, and we had about I had about 20 people around when we were talking about this.
Okay, cool.
All of them except five said the Young Bucks are the VPs. That's why they dominated.
Yeah,
they
should have
never dominated the way they were. And that cut them out right there. Only five people really voted for for the Young Bucks. Seriously.
Okay.
So, FTR and Lucha Brothers, who do you think won this one?
Between the two is tough. Very, very tough. But I end up picking the Lucha Brothers.
Hmm.
I say tough, like,
that.
when I say tough, like, it's like a slight nod to the Lucha Brothers. I would have loved to seen, I think it's really hard. Tag team of the year, the way I look at it is like, who had the best year? I think Lucha Brothers had a slight better year than FTR, but I think AEW should use FTR better this year.
Yes, and I think they will. My pick, and actually the winner of the tag team division for ATW, actually was FTR.
Mm-hmm.
FTR pulled out that victory. They said the same thing. They don't think they were used right, but they have. Oh, so, go ahead.
I'm not even mad at that, though, because FTR is a phenomenal tag team.
Yeah, and they said they got the technical aspect that they should be top dogs. Okay, so manager of the year. This one is going to be interesting.
It is.
Arn Anderson, Dan Lambert, or Tully Blanchard?
Okay. This is going to be my disclosure pick here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I voted for Tully. Because you managed the FTR and they had a really good year. But then as I'm thinking about Dan Lambert and what Dan Lambert is doing, I'm kind of leaning towards him on this, though. I think as a manager, I think Lambert is making a bigger impact. Not saying that I think, and when I say making a bigger impact, Lambert's getting his guys over. Tully don't have to get FTR over.
True.
FTR will be doing what they're doing, whether they have Tully or not. Dan Lambert's getting his guys over. Dan Lambert is like a standout on the show. Like, one of the people you remember on the show is Dan Lambert. So I'm actually changing my vote to him.
And me, myself, I was totally split on this one. I thought Lambert as well. And actually, Lambert did win the Manager of the Year for the AEW side. That was a close one too. So.
Oh, I can imagine though. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a real close one right there. Female wrestler of the year. We got three. Thunder Rosa, of course. Jade Cargill. And Britt Baker, DMD. This one is a barn burner here.
Well, for me, huge fan of the push that Big Breaker is getting. Huge fan of the stuff that she's been doing. I'm going with DMD. Thunder Rosa had a phenomenal year, don't get me wrong. And it's too soon for Jade. So for me, it's DMD.
I myself said Jade Cargill because I felt Britt Baker has been spoon-fed from when she got in there. I'm not saying she hasn't earned it, but she was already on that pedestal by when AEW first started. You know what I'm saying? Jade Cargill came out of nowhere. Thunder Rosa has always been a talent that's been known through the independents and things of that nature, so I wasn't surprised by her. But Jade Cargill, yeah, that woman makes me pay attention. And not saying Britt Baker doesn't, but when Jade comes on, oh, God, my attention is just all glued to that screen. And it's not because she looks good, because I think she does look good. I ain't ashamed to say it, but the girl is just a beast. She's
a
beast.
Just want to throw a little something out here. I don't know if you remember, like, about a week or two ago, like either last show or the show before that, you know, we were picking who was going to win between Ruby Riott and Jade, and I picked Jade, and I said go set up a match with Ruby and Britt.
Yeah, you were right about that. Ruby's not getting a secondary title. We just knew that, so
yeah.
That gave it all away, you know. But Jade is right where she needs to be. I think it's too early for her to get the main women's title. I think the secondary title is something that's needed. They did that well.
And that's why I feel like at this point in the career, that's why I get a nod to Britt over Jade, because it's just, in my opinion, too soon. She's having phenomenal years, but she's still got a lot of growing to do. And, no, I can see it being a lot different this time next year.
True. All right, let's go on to the next category, MVP of AEW. This one was kind of controversial amongst everybody because everybody was basically voting for one person. And you'll see what I mean in a second, and I'll tell you about the debate in a second. One was Ruby Soho. Two was Bryan Danielson. And the third was Darby Allin.
Really?
Yes. Everybody said everybody in his focus group was saying, why is Ruby Soho and Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson in this conversation when they came in late to 2021? My thing was because of the impact that they had when they came in. If you have that big of an impact, you can't ignore it.
No,
and they
I
have been
why, because my pick didn't even make the cut.
Who was your pick?
CM Punk. And the reason I say CM Punk, because that was like the biggest return of the year.
CM Punk came in fourth.
I'm surprised. Okay.
And the reason why, and this is the reasoning why, all right? See, and I'm reading this here, CM Punk. How did I describe it? Because I scribbled on this one. I'm sorry. I scribbled notes on this one. It was more of CM Punk already had that nostalgia to get that type of a pop. You know what I'm saying? And my argument was so does Daniel Bryan.
Exactly.
But Daniel Bryan has came in that ring and kind of flipped it on everybody because he was a face at first and then coming in there and then he flipped into like a mega, mega heel. Oh, say that again.
He was a baby face. He was a baby face heel. Like he was like he flipped heel, but talking to them like I'm no different than I was before. I'm the same guy that you were cheering like a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah. But I honestly it was a big debate on that, and on one of the future shows because it was going to take too much time. We'll talk about why that was the case.
We got to jump into that later. I know we ain't much time left, but we got to jump into that later.
Yeah. But who do you pick in these three?
Man, you kind of threw me because I got to pick a different person. My person, actually, in this debate is going to be Daniel Bryan. I'm Bryan Danielson. And the reason I'm picking Bryan Danielson is similar to the same reasons as CM Punk.
Mm.
But with, I don't know what the match of your categories are for AEW, but Bryan Danielson could easily be in two of them.
It's the same categories. It's the same categories.
No, I mean, I'm not sure what the I'm not sure what the match of the year candidates are, but Bryan Danielson could easily be in two of the three of the matches for match of the year. Like, I really think that, like, I'm picking Bryan Danielson just for the, like, the impact that he had going over there. The man was in WrestleMania like six, seven, 8 months ago. Leave the company, go there, and he's in a championship picture and having phenomenal championship matches. Now, his match with Kenny Omega and his match with Hangman Adam Page were two of the best matches that AEW had, and he was in both of them. So he got my
pick. Well, on the line now, coming straight out of nowhere, is the man, Robert Black. What's up, man?
Hello, Bobby. I apologize for coming in like this on the second hour, but I've been a little bit under the weather this weekend, and so I missed my alarm. So I'm kind of swooping in for your second hour here. I apologize, but I am here now.
But real quick though. Because we were talking a lot, but Ty didn't message me, so they came up, and she wouldn't be able to make the show, and she apologized, though, but Ty won't be joining us.
Oh, I kind of figured that. All right. So you said that Bryan Danielson. I'm looking at Darby. I looked at Darby and said, yeah, he's been consistent. But Bryan Danielson, God doggone, I hate when they switch the names like that. Bryan Danielson has made a more of a long-standing impact. I threw my hands up and said, you know what, I'm tired. I can't figure this one out. I can't.
Is this
pick
for MVP?
Of yeah, AEW,
MVP.
Yeah.
MVP, AEW. Oh yes, I picked Darby Allin because even though he has not been as high a profile as Punk or Danielson, he was the auxiliary character, basically the fan favorite backbone for AEW. I mean. The feuds that he's had, win or lose, over the last year have basically built up his character and built Sting's back up as well. So
that's true.
That's why I picked him for AEW's MVP. There's the argument that Ty was. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind, but the argument for Danielson is really solid, though, because of him just coming into the company and becoming as dominant in ring as he is. Darby has been there since day one, and basically everything that he's done in the last year has gotten over, no matter who it was with.
That's true. And that's why the winner of the MVP award was Darby Allin. Same reasoning, same understanding. I couldn't argue with it, so.
No, you can't argue with it at all.
Right on. Now we got to speed through this because we got AEW versus WWE, and then we got to get to the independent awards.
Okay.
And I know there's a few people on here that's waiting on that one. The male wrestler of the year for AEW, We have the nominees are Bryan Danielson, Kenny Omega, CM Punk, and MJF.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I understand the argument for MJF here because he was anytime he was on the screen, he was dominant. But since Omega had such a unbelievable year, and since his story was the main event along with the Elite, I kind of went with him, but the MJF would come in a close second in that category, though.
Okay, Tony?
Kenny Omega, hands down, in my opinion, especially Kenny Omega had a phenomenal year. I'm surprised that CM Punk was in the nomination.
Yeah, he was. He made it.
Mm-hmm. Well, just by virtue of returning, he's going to make a lot of categories because it kind of shook the earth. But
I think my surprise is, like, I think for his return, I think that was more of an MVP move than Wrestler of the Year. Like, I don't think, like, he was there long enough and really made as big of an impact to be the Wrestler of the Year.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree wholeheartedly with that.
Let me tell you the reasoning on over half of the people that was there. The reason CM Punk was even put in is because of how he changed the wrestling. If you remember before he got there, and it's him and Danielson, but him mainly because he came first, and that's when you started noticing the change. And then with Danielson, it kind of solidified it. It got more to wrestling. It was less of a spot show. And CM Punk had a lot to do with changing that type of culture. So I see why they put him in. Me, myself, I disagree with Kenny Omega. And it was for the same reasons why the Young Bucks didn't even make Tag Team of the Year. Is because he is an EVP. He can put himself in that situation. And I think he did a lot of instances that he wouldn't have been if someone else was booking. My vote, and actually the winner of the Male Wrestler of the Year Award for AEW, was MJF.
Okay, because if Kenny Omega to win it definitely should have been MJF.
Well,
yeah,
I can't really argue with that.
I can't really argue with it. If you said the winner was like Daniel Bryan or CM Punk, I might have been upset. And I think part of for me is because, I mean, and those guys had a huge impact on AEW, without a doubt. But MJF and Kenny Omega are the ones that have been there the entire year. They've been, I mean, even beyond this year, they've been the workhorses and everything else. So I'm happy.
Yeah.
No, if it ain't Kenny Omega, I'm happy it's MJF.
Okay, so now we're going to go to Match of the Year for AEW.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie. I think some people missed some matches here, but these are the three that made it. CM Punk versus Darby Allin. Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega. And the last one, which shocked me, but didn't shock me, was Thunder Rosa versus Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
Wow.
Actually, no, that makes perfect sense. That match was unbelievably brutal in its execution.
No,
and I have never considered women's hardcore in America getting over as much as it has, and most of it is because of that match. So yeah, that's a legit contender.
Hold on, Rob. If you remember back in the day, a couple of years ago, what did I say? I said the women are going to start dominating the wrestling scene and shocking everybody.
Well, yeah,
I'm not surprised.
You did say that. I didn't imagine that it would be in that fashion. I thought you were talking about like WrestleMania level, like main event type stuff.
Both of us predicted the WrestleMania that a woman would headline WrestleMania, but I was talking more of they are going to start branching out into the different areas of wrestling and dominating, and that's what they're doing. Got more, even that damn bunny that I can't stand made me stand up and say, "Oh my God!"
Yeah.
When she did that match with
that. Oh yeah, that was a bloodbath. That street that was unbelievably. I mean, just the visual alone was just it was shocking. It was different, but it was so well done that if it had happened in June instead of a few weeks ago, it would have made this list.
That's true. That is definitely true. And I mean, honestly, as Rob knows, I am not into the hardcore. I don't like the light tubes and stuff like that. I got mad respect who does it, though. I'm not saying that they're trash. It's just not my taste. You know what I'm saying? I'm not into the light tube depth match type stuff.
There is
that
a
was
right
kind of like
way
on the border of hardcore to death match. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It wasn't death matchy, but it was hardcore, and I loved it. And
right.
I honestly, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a right way and a wrong way to do hardcore and or death matches. I mean, obviously there's a wild element to it, but it can be controlled. I'm against it when it's all over the place and it's all weapons and you know there's a chance that somebody's going to puncture a lung and have to be medevac to save their lives. That I'm against. But
right,
there's a more nuanced way of doing it to where the weapons can be used, where it can be an actual match instead of just chaos. That's
right.
And that can be done. And so far, AEW has been able to pull that off somehow, which is why the Baker-Thunder Rosa match is so damn good, because they
they
knew how to put that together, and they executed it in a way that didn't look both clunky and extremely dangerous. Well, it looked extremely dangerous, but you knew that you were watching something that wasn't going to result in death. So, but for this category, I'm actually going to go with Danielson Omega, because the reason being that putting Danielson in that position with Omega just at the start of him coming in was both logical and resulted in the match that it did. They didn't wait to pull the trigger. So WWE would have like put that behind a paywall. They would have they never would have let it go Broadway, and because it was both a dream match and because it was different, that gets my pick.
Tony, let's get yours in real quick.
Well, first of all, next year when we do this voting, I want to be with that panel that you were with, because there is no way that CM Punk versus Darby Allin is in this category. That's just my opinion.
It was.
I could think a couple of matches better than that one. I'm not saying it was a bad match, but I don't think it was match of the year category. And I mentioned earlier when we talked about Bryan Danielson had an easy, like, a couple of matches that could be match of the year. But I'm actually going with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, because that match was phenomenal. And to see the women, to see the women tear it down the way they did, that's the match I'm picking. I ain't gonna be mad if Brian Danielson and Omega win. I will be mad if CM Punk and Darby Allin win.
Well, you don't have to get mad because they didn't win. Honestly, and this shocked me, and I am so happy that it did win. It was my vote, and also the winner of the AEW side match of the year for 2021 was Thunder Rosa and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
Nice. DMD.
So the thing that got me shocked about this whole thing, and that I'm looking at it, and let me just remind you, we got to go through these quickly because we got to get to the independents.
Gotcha.
Is that we got women, we have women matches that are match of the year going head to head.
That's nice.
I am so happy about that. I'm so happy about
that.
Like,
how crazy is that?
Yeah, I know. So let's go ahead. Let's get this going. And it's a little, it seems like we got a double matchup here once I'm looking at it. And you'll see what I mean in a second. Starting off, WWE versus AEW. Here we go. The Usos taking on FTR. Who do you got?
FTR.
Honestly, as much as I love the Usos, FTR is a better attack team.
That's right. FTR is your winner. Manager of the year, Paul Heyman versus Dan Lambert.
Heyman.
Paul Heyman, hands down.
The winner of that one, Paul Heyman.
Ah, okay.
Female wrestler of the year, Bianca Belair taking on Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
DMD.
And that is actually the winner, Britt Baker.
Wow.
MVP, Paul Heyman versus Darby Allin.
Darby.
Paul.
Winner of that one by 2 votes, Paul Heyman.
Yes.
Okay.
Male wrestler of the year. This one, this wrecked my brain to vote on this one. Roman Reigns taking on MJF.
Wow. Good way to spit in a bouillabaisse. Okay. Let's go with the ultimate heel, MJF.
I'm going with the Paul Heyman heel, Roman Reigns. Tribal Chief.
The winner of that one actually was MJF. And guess why?
Why?
Let me.
The very reason we talked about earlier.
You know.
Paul Heyman made it interesting. MJF makes it interesting on his own.
Good point. That's a very, very good point. Very good point.
You know that he's a decent human being on the inside, but when you see him on the TV screen, you just want to gouge his eyes out.
I don't know if he's a decent human being. Think about this. He can be a natural heel.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tremendous feat where you can piss off the entire world with the exception of Long Island. That's absolutely phenomenal. So good pick.
That is though.
And match of the year. Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks taking on Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker, DMD.
It's not even close for me. I like Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa way more.
Ditto. Yeah, me too.
It might have not been close for us, but it was definitely close to the poll. Two votes separated the winner of the match of the year for 2021. Thunder Rosa takes on Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
Cool.
That was one of
that
the closest
That was a wild
votes.
Match.
Yeah,
yes.
It was.
It was so close. It was. So if we look at everything, one, two, the only one from WWE that really made a dent in his voting was Paul Heyman.
And Bobby, you missed it earlier, though, but I was saying Paul Heyman is the only reason I lost SmackDown. So I'm happy Paul Heyman won.
That's true. I mean, this was awesome. This was awesome. I did like this. We're going to expand on this next year. And we will talk about that in future episodes. But right now, since we crunched on time, and Tony, I want you to stay on the line and listen to this, because this is a spot where me and Rob, it's kind of deep in our hearts.
I definitely stick around, though, but hopefully next year, though, I just want to just throw this out there now, and I will remind you at the end of next year, Women's Tag Team of the Year is something we should look at. So that's becoming bigger and bigger in the wrestling industry right now.
Yeah, but it's not big enough for right now. You know what I'm saying?
No, right now. Let's see how it is next year. Let's see how it goes in about a year or so.
Yeah, for best of 2022, I'd be open to that. Let's see how it plays out.
Because, you know, honestly, I didn't do it in Motown Wrestling Group. I didn't do that category for Female Tag Team of the Year because I don't think they're ready yet, though, but I think it's going in that direction, though. I could see next year maybe we could take a look at that.
Well, if AEW expands that division and keeps Conti and Jay together and keeps Ford and Bunny together and they keep having matches like that, then they could arguably get a title for it. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Right. So, right now, we got to get to this right now.
You got it.
We're getting too deep. We 2020 and 2021 has been kind of rough because we had COVID and not been able to go to a lot of independent shows. Rob, I know you've been involved with NWP. I've been keeping my ear out, watching things. And the independence is something that's dear to our heart because, of course, I was involved for so many years. Rob's been involved commentating. These guys and girls do not get enough credit. This is where everything starts. This is where you see these guys before they get to the WWE or AEW. These guys work their butt off a little on no money and hardly get any recognition. And we want
to
give that recognition independently to these guys because we know there are a lot of we got a lot of dirt sheets out there, and they actually, how can I say it, twisted towards their buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody knows me knows I don't do that, and I don't care about doing that because I don't think it's fair. I think everybody should have a fair shot. The talent should be recognized, and they should be acknowledged as such when they do good. And this is why we have the 2021 Independent Wrestling Award.
Absolutely.
Go
the
ahead,
independent
Rob.
Circuit is the lifeblood of the professional wrestling industry. And without the independent circuit, a lot of this would not exist. AEW would not exist, and the WWE would wither on the vine. So let's give these guys some credit and hit the awards.
Not only that, though, and I'm putting this out there, and I'm doing this on my own, they're the winners of a couple of these categories. It's going to get something special from us here, from the FTW Future Focus thing, podcast. What we're going to do is we're planning on something in the future to where we're going to get together because Tony has just moved here to Indianapolis. He's never seen the Indiana Independence, things of that nature that much, okay?
Right,
so,
right.
We're going to take him. We're going to do this as an educational trip to him, And we're going to go around to all the independents. We're going to do some interviews. We're going to do whatever. And let him see what the Indiana independents are all about. And heck, if you got one in Ohio or you got one in Kentucky that's good, let us know. We might come out there. We might. Not saying definite, but we might. That's kind of a long trip.
I might do a road trip. Like, depending on work schedule and everything, I'm up for a road trip.
Right on. All right, guys. Let's get to it.
Okay.
Tag team of the year for 2021 in the independent circuit. Number one, Southern Discomfort. Number two, the Tart Foundation. And number three, the Highlight Reel. Rob, who do you say out of all of these?
Okay, my vote was the Tart Foundation. Brannigan and Atlas, they were a phenomenal champions for New Wave, and individually they were all over Indiana all year long, but they were a great entertaining team. I put them over on commentary with their Pop-Tart gimmick stuff, but as silly as that was, they delivered in the ring, and they're both extraordinary talents. That was my pick.
Southern Discomfort is out of OVW. These guys are awesome, veterans of the ring, tag team extraordinaires, very technical in the ring. I mean, they are a sight to see. These are guys that you don't play with when it comes to being in the squared circle. The Highlight Reel is another one on here that a lot of my Indiana independent family would know. Especially if you live in the city of Indianapolis, these two are twins that clown and cheat and do it all. I love these guys. These guys are 100% on the balance. The winner of this category, and honestly, I can't say that because it's going to make it look like I'm favoring one over the other. I'm not. The winner of this is actually the Highlight Reel.
Cool.
The Highlight Reel has done a lot, and I think it's well-deserved. Winners of Tag Team of the Year is the Highlight Reel. Next award, we are going with Manager of the Year. It's only two people that, and again, if we didn't see you, we are sorry, okay? Let us know where you're at. We'll come out. We'll check you out and see what it is and see if you go into these into our categories at the end of the year next year. But Manager of the Year is two people. One is out of Indianapolis. He goes by the Skull Crusher. This gentleman, he does a gimmick that is awesome. He holds his own. He has a smart mouth on the mic. I will give him his props. He does his job very well. And then you have Hollywood House. I don't know what more you could say about this guy. This guy, he takes it to another level. He's the manager of, ironically, the FTW champion, Sam Knight.
I've heard of Hollywood House. I haven't heard of Skull Crusher. Maybe I should. But since I've been so involved with NWP, and since there are hardly any managers in that company, and that's a shame because managers are kind of going out of style on the independent circuit, and there needs to be more of them. So, because that is a lost art almost, and it needs to be revived, because a mouthpiece for a guy in professional wrestling, for a worker, can be something that can bring them up to another stratosphere. So, who won the award, Bobby?
Hollywood House. As much as it pains me. This dude is, honestly, to be honest with you, this dude reminds me of a younger Black Paul Heyman.
Well, you know, for somebody to be the representation for Sam Knight, when Sam is such a dynamic personality himself, you know he's got to be good.
That's true. That's definitely true. So the winner of Manager of the Year is Hollywood House.
Cool.
So now we go to the Female Wrestler of the Year 2021. Boy, this one was a tough one. First off, we have DJ the Disaster. This is a girl that I've actually personally know from doing shows with. Very, very talented individual. She is on the come up. The Spear is a finisher. She is a tough individual. She's out of Chicago, Illinois, and all over just doing wonderful things. She's on the come up. You will see her all in a lot of places real soon. Next, Charlie Cruel. This young lady is just awesome. She has a character that just makes you kind of love her, but also scared of her. I mean, she is brutal in that ring. She is technically sound. She is a dream when it comes to women's wrestling. She makes, if you want to see a good match, if you want to see a good technical match, and you want women involved, Charlie Cruel is definitely one that you have to have in that ring. And in addition,
absolutely.
Speaking about technical, and also, don't forget, Charlie Cruel did a couple of matches on AEW Dark.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
So,
and I got to call one of her matches in New Wave Pro. And she, if the Bunny had, if you spliced together the DNA of the Bunny and Bayley as a babyface, you'd get Charlie Cruel.
No. I'm sorry, I got to disagree with that. There is nothing in the Bunny that can be split and made into something positive.
I'm talking about dark versus light here, the kind of thing that Charlie Cruel does in the ring. It was a visual example, Bobby. Yeah, it was a visual example.
I hate the Bunny. I hate that Bunny.
I realize that. It was just an example, man.
Oh, God. Can I shoot a bunny? Can I just be like Elmo Fudd, go out and shoot the bunny? I mean, I can't. I better not joke about that because then they'll take it serious. Let me stick that out.
Maybe you're lucky to get shot.
Yeah, I know. And third on the list is somebody that has been around. She actually did one of the FTW shows that we held at the Haunted House that time. She is a technical wrestler, very good, studied under, he's going to kill me. Oh, I'm blanking out. I can't remember his name. He's going to kill me. The same gentleman that trained John Moxley is the same person that trained this young lady.
Cool.
She is phenomenal. She's also been on AEW a few times. She actually wrestled Thunder Rosa on AEW and held her own very, very well. I expect her to be called up and actually get a contract with AEW. She is one of the most phenomenal wrestlers that I have seen. I'm kind of giving away stuff here by talking about her, but I can't help it. Shawna Reed.
Cool.
And the winner of it, of course, and I kind of gave it away a little bit, the winner of the Female Wrestler of the Year in 2021, Shawna Reed. Shawna, congratulations. You deserve it. All I can say is, if you're listening, thank you for a lot of matches that you're doing. I look forward to seeing more. I really look forward to seeing more of what you do because you are that measuring stick right now.
Oh, yeah, and congratulations to all the ladies, because in professional wrestling in general and on the independents especially, the ladies are coming up, and you know it's a wonderful thing to see.
And the thing that makes me mad is I think the ladies are underappreciated. They are very underappreciated, and they should get focused on a lot more. These girls are busting their butt off just like these dudes.
They've earned the respect. I agree with that.
They definitely need that respect given to them. Next, MVP of the Independents, two people. Well, actually, it's three.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason why, Rob, and I'm going to explain something that I said on it. I would have to mention this to you on the show.
Okay.
I'll explain in a second. MVP of the Independents, Hollywood House.
Okay.
Number two, Chris Abel.
Cool.
And number three, you're going to laugh on this one, dude. Number three, yes, it is the commentator, the man who I call is my personal Jim Ross, Robert Black himself. This is the reason I couldn't tell you, because he was involved. Because he was involved in the category, so I couldn't tell you about it, man.
Holy wow! That I'm amazed by that. Thank you. That's a pleasure to me. Thank you so much.
We already spoke about Hollywood House, about what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Abel is the ring announcer of NWP. This gentleman brings a flavor when he's on that mic that nobody hardly accepts. I will say, with the exception of myself, can bring when you do ring announcing. He is the flavor. He is the heart. He is the home base guy there at NWP.
Yeah,
Robert Black. A lot of people, I even dipped off and dipped to my friend's house and watched Fight TV and showed my friend your commentary. Showed a lot of, you know, of what you do. He even said himself out of his own mouth, dude, he captivates you like Jim Ross.
Nice.
That is hefty praise. Thank you.
Tony, I mean, I'm not lying. When Rob is on the mic calling a match, sometimes I get tongue-tied because this man – and so articulate and so knowledgeable on that microphone till it just throws me off. And I'm like, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done. And I'm not saying that because he's on the FTW network, okay? I'm not saying that. He's my best friend. I'm not saying it because he's my best friend. And I've told him this to his face, and I think he thinks I was just trying to boost him up or whatever. But honestly, I think Rob should be on AEW. He should be calling a match on AEW. I think Rob is better than Excalibur.
That's why I laugh.
If Rob was sitting there with those guys.
Here's why I laugh when you say that, though, because when you say like he should be on AEW, the first person I think to replace was Excalibur.
Yeah. All of those guys on there, if Rob was on there with if him and Jim Ross would cut it up. Calling a match with Jim Ross would just be a dream.
It would.
And a lot of people that I've showed his commentating actually said this, and this is not coming from me, this is coming from them. He is the heart of the television production of NWP.
Okay.
Because watching those matches are good, but his commentary places an extra flavor on those matches. And the winner of the MVP award for the 2021 Independent is actually Robert Black.
Nice. Congratulations.
I am so touched. Thank you so much, Bobby.
You won. Actually, honestly, out of all the awards that was here, you won that by the biggest margin out of any category.
Wow.
Nice.
I'm stunned. I'm practically speechless. It's hard to put into words. I couldn't be more happy, and to everybody out there who voted for me, God bless you, and I'm going to keep doing my thing. Thank you. There's more to come.
Right on. I was so happy. You all understand. I was like a kid in a candy store when I jumped up and was like, "Oh, y'all voting for him? Y'all fighting for him? Okay, let me stay far from here. Let me stay far from him, but he's getting it. I was getting hyped.
Okay.
We're going to Male Wrestler of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big one. This is one of the closest ones that we had in this category for the independents. These four guys have done a lot in the independent wrestling scene. Again, if we haven't seen you, we don't know you, so let us know who you are, where you are. Talk to your promoters. Tell them to have us come out. Let us look at your matches, and next year you could be included in these categories. Okay, so the four guys here for the Indiana Independents are as follows: Solomon Tufu, Paragon, the right hand of God, Sam Knight, and Don't Die, Miles.
Wow, that is an unbelievable, that is an incredible list right there. My pick was Solomon Tupu because he held Big Leather for over a year, and he was just a dominating force. And that was why I personally picked him for this category.
Me myself, I was torn, and I wasn't torn between two people. I was actually torn between three people.
Mm.
Solomon Tupu had the dominating role, blah blah blah. But I honestly couldn't connect with him. It's no offense against him. It's just, I don't know if something's wrong with me, but I just couldn't connect with him. Paragon is a guy that I see is going to be, he's actually the present. He's the present right now. This guy can perform out this world in that ring. He's technically sound. He has a lot of knowledge up in that brain of his. This man is a godsend. When it comes to somebody being in that ring, he captures my attention and keeps it. The right
yeah,
hand
for
of
the
God,
record,
Dan
I'd,
Knight.
For the record,
oh,
I'd love to work with Paragon again because he has an unbelievably great personality, and he was one of the first guys of when I came back from my hiatus that I was able to interview. So yeah, I love Paragon.
Right hand of God, Sam Knight. What more can I say? I mean, he is actually the FTW champion. This man is a technically sound wrestler himself, been in great matches, wrestled superstars. I mean, former WWE superstars. I mean, he has dominated his part of the scene for a long time now. And then you have someone that I have respected for a long time, and you know this, Rob, Don't Die, Miles.
Oh, yeah.
I have always said, and I've said this to you, and I've said this to a couple of other people, Don't Die Miles should have been heavyweight champion somewhere. Don't Die Miles should be the face of someone's company. Don't Die Miles should have a marketing team behind him to promote this guy. He is a small guy. He's not a big muscular guy, but his heart, his energy, the way he conducts matches, his attitude in the locker room, his thinking, the way he has grown from when I first saw him to now is like seeing your little son first throw a baseball and all of a sudden now he's in the major leagues.
Miles is just that one performer who dazzles your mind every time that you see Miles. And the fact that he was the man to dethrone Solomon and become New Wave Pro Champion is a testament to the fact of how Miles can carry both an in-ring performance and a storyline. So just, yeah, he a phenomenal performer is Don't Die Miles. So, yeah.
Okay. This was a little hard. This was, and I'm happy to say that the winner of the FTW 2021 Male Wrestler of the Year Awards in the Independence is Don't Die Miles.
Nice.
Miles, you deserve it.
Yes,
I can't say
absolutely.
Nothing more. You deserve it. Don't Die Miles is the 2021 Male Wrestler of the Year. Congratulations, sir. And then we go to Match of the Year. There's only two of them. And I didn't see one of them. But we got Cole Radrick taking on, I didn't get his first name, but it was Bennett.
Mike Bennett.
Okay, so you've seen that match.
I called that match, yes.
Okay, he called that match. Okay, I feel like a dummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he called the match. Okay. And then the match that I saw that really, it embedded in my head, this match, was Solomon Tupu taking on Don't Die Miles.
Okay. Well, my pick was the Cole Radrick-Mike Bennett match, and it was because the story was damn near perfect. Cole as the underdog versus Mike Bennett, the former WWE and Ring of Honor veteran, and they went to a 30-minute Broadway, and the story was Cole had to prove himself as a top player, and he hung with Bennett. He took him to his limits, and the only thing, there was just nothing missing for that match. If Maria Kanellis had been at ringside, it would have been too much of a distraction. It was just the two guys one-on-one for 30 minutes, and they left a part of themselves in that ring, and it brought out the best in me, too. So me winning the MVP award is very much partly due to that match, so that's why I picked it.
Now, there were a few people that I had to rely on that seen both matches, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
I didn't think it would be fair for me to put my two cents in because I only seen one match, and that was on Fight TV, and that was I saw the Miles-Tupu match.
Mm-hmm.
Miles' little things that he did in there. Did you see the Ricky Morton he did in there?
Yeah, November Rain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I called that match too. Yes.
I mean, it's out this world. And that match showed me how much he's grown. The little things that he do.
Yeah.
Yeah. He kept up in that match so well. And against a bigger guy to play the David with Goliath, it was awesome. It's everything just drew me in.
Yeah, it was the ultimate example of that parable, actually. It was like the perfect example of David and Goliath was that match.
And this is, again, I had to leave this in other people's hands because, of course, I didn't see both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did not see both of them. And the actual winner by 3 votes for Match of the Year was Solomon Tupu and Don't Die Miles.
Cool.
I had an argument, and I don't know if you think this is fair or not, and we've dealt with the independents. Tony will come along and see what we're talking about. But do you think that when a guy wrestles someone that's from WWE or TNA or one of the major feds, that takes away from them getting an award such as this because they're working with such a high talent that
it
should be up there?
Absolutely
not. It shouldn't. In my opinion.
If I was voting on this one, on the Match of the Year, I would have voted definitely Miles and Don't Die Miles versus Solomon because none of them has been in WWE. You know what I'm saying? When you reach that level, that WWE guy, and I'm not taking anything from Cole Roderick. I'm not saying this about Cole Roderick. So please do not misinterpret that. It's just the optics of having a WWE guy in there makes you see that makes you feel and makes you think that you're going to get a higher quality match, and it should be that high quality match because that type of talent is in there. It's like if you got an NFL player playing in college football, well, that team should rise and be that dominant team. You see what I'm saying? But if you got somebody that's high school players that's going into the college ranks and dominating every college player, they're dominating Alabama. They're dominating Georgia. They're dominating Cincinnati. They're dominating Michigan and sending Joan Harbaugh back home to Chicago. You know what I mean? It seems like it's more of a tilt because expect them to do that.
Well, Bobby, I see what you're saying. And it's a valid argument on a certain level, but here's why I disagree with it. When someone from WWE or AEW or someone from the promotions that have a better TV deal, the nationally recognized promotions, when one of those competitors, when one of those workers comes down to the independent circuit, they're not doing it in order to steal the spotlight from people who have been trying to earn it. It's more like they're giving it back. And the reason I say that is because we know that professional wrestling is a cooperative endeavor. You're not going to look good unless the person that you are in the ring with will allow you to. And that's what Mike Bennett did in that match with Cole Roderick. He gave back. It wasn't about the fact that he has a bigger, like, the overall national profile than Cole. That adds a little bit of flavor to a match, especially when it's like advertised, especially. But I don't consider it a dishonor or a I don't consider it a theft of of attention in order to, when an independent guy goes in there with a former superstar from a higher promotion, because it's a proving ground for the independent circuit. It makes everybody look good in the sense that the veteran is giving back and the indie guy is stepping up. And you can, I don't think that it takes away from it. Although you make a valid argument, but you're talking about like bigger sports teams and bigger like sports athletes squashing less experienced athletes, and that's not what we're really talking about here. We're talking about guys like Bennett and like JTG who are coming back to the independent circuit to give back to the business. So that's why I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I'm not saying I have a problem with it. I'm just talking about this. I don't know.
For the purposes of winning awards, I think is what you were saying.
Yeah, it was brought to me, especially when it came to this category. It's like, well, of course that match could be good because he's working with somebody from WWE, you know, I mean, and it's like, even though I was happy because I am a person that looks at Don't Die Miles and sees gold, diamonds, you know, but I'm not that type of guy that I want to turn around and make it look like, you know, just because this guy is in a match with somebody from WWE, he should get that leg up either. You see what I'm saying?
I understand. But
it's kind of rough. It's kind of rough.
Well, you know? Okay. Well, the reason that I'm saying that the match like qualifies is because even though Mike Bennett was the most experienced guy in the match, Cole hung with him like no other. I mean, they let it go a time limit draw for a reason, because they wanted to showcase everything that Cole Radrick can do. And even when he was in there with Sage Phillips, the dog collar match, that was like unbelievable. I had never seen anybody bleed in New Wave Pro before. And they put their own spin on that classic match, and it was phenomenal, and Cole Radrick was one half of that. He did the same thing with Mike Bennett. And
right on. Hey, but Rob,
yeah,
we are going to be out of time. We got 30 seconds left. We're going to discuss this at another time. We're going to make a show. We're going to start discussing this at another time, because this is something that I think that shouldn't be discussed, and because it got brought to me too many times. And I'm like,
absolutely.
What do? You know? So, guys, that's the 2021 FTW Wrestling Awards. We want to thank everybody. I will announce on the next show what I meant about we don't just talk about it. We're going to go ahead. We also support them as well. So tune in next Sunday, 4 p.m. We'll have that on, talk about WWE, take a little more independence on the future of professional wrestling podcasts. This is Mastermind Bob Rogers, Tony Motown Allen, Robert Black signing out, saying we will definitely see you in the future.